Bill Ritger, who shall remain nameless, came up to me and he said, well, yeah, he said, that's one spin on the story, but then imagine, you know, the word gets out that this guy who is possessed is living in a graveyard, and he is tormented by a legion of demons. Does anybody know how many demons that might be? More than 1,000. Okay, in the first century of the Common Era, a legion, a Roman legion, was between 5,000 and 6,000 soldiers. So this guy is possessed and tormented by somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 demons, about, on average, about 1,000 more than I have on a regular basis. You may be in the ballpark. And Phil suggested that the real reason that Jesus went way out of his way was because the word had gotten out. There's this dude in the graveyard across the lake who's got 5,000 demons in him. It's like a sideshow, right? So Phil was suggesting a little bit different motivation on Jesus' part to go see this guy. It was funny then. I'll let him know how you responded. Probably. Yeah. And, yeah, I know. And the question that Jesus asks is, what is your name? And I want to suggest today that beyond any other imagining, I mean, how is it that, you know, Jesus exorcises somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 demons? And, you know, feel free to make up your own story. Most of us do anyway. If we stay with the story, what happens is that Jesus asks his name. Now, he or the demons respond with legion, which is not a name, it's a number, right? But the question penetrates beyond, and it goes deeper. And I want to suggest today that it is a result of Jesus' question that the man is made whole. And as the story unfolds, he asks, oh, you know, let me come with you. And Jesus says, ah, go home, you know, and tell people what God has done for you. And so he does. And what we're not told, again, because the story just moves on from there, is that this is how the gospel was spread in the first century of the Common Era. Not the apostles, not Paul. I mean, yeah, they had a piece of that action, but if you want to know how the Jesus movement came to be rooted in the Roman Empire, it was guys like this gentleman who was tormented and possessed by thousands and thousands of demons. This is how it worked. Now, for those of you who are animal lovers here in the 21st century, you're going to have a little problem with how the demons are exercised, because they end up in a herd of pigs, and then the pigs, the poor things, they run off a cliff. And biblical scholars and historians have actually studied or attempted to study the geography that's laid out in the gospel stories, and no sooner do you begin to do that than you realize that most of these authors had no sense of the geography, because they didn't live in the Palestine. These stories were written in other places other than where Jesus lived and moved and whatnot. And so if you work the geography of the story, the biblical scholars say that this was the most energetic herd of swine in the history of the planet. because they would have had to run, oh, between 30 and 40 miles to get to the Sea of Galilee. So you go, okay, well, we'll make allowances for an author who doesn't know the geography but is attempting to spin out the story, and be that as it may, the herd of pigs jump off the cliff and on into the water, and they drown. And so you'll be calling the animal shelter or whatnot. But here, that's in the 21st century. From the context of the people that lived in the first century of the Common Era, these are Jewish folks, primarily, with a mix of Gentiles, but the Jewish people did not associate with pigs. They wouldn't take care of them, they wouldn't slaughter them, they wouldn't eat them. That's off the table, as it were, no pun intended. And given the day in the first century, this herd of swine would have been tended by someone who was hired by Imperial Rome to feed the soldiers, the mercenaries of Rome. And so I can assure you that from their point of view, they would have been cheering the death of this herd of swine. No question about it. So if you can step away from your 21st century sensibilities and come to grips with what was going on when this story was written and when the story unfolded, it begins to make a whole lot of sense, or a lot more sense in a whole different context. And again, the heart of it is that Jesus asks his name. Some of you may have been struggling this past week, as have I, with the aftermath of the massacre in Orlando, and seeing photos of the victims of that massacre, and hearing the stories of what happened, people who survived the massacre, now no doubt traumatized beyond belief by what happened. And I think the best we can say today is that our hearts go out to all of the victims of that massacre, and that we declare our affinity and our relationship with the LGBTQ community. I mean, let's just put it out there, folks. We are an ally congregation. You know, we're in it with them. And our hearts go out to their families, to their partners, their friends. Our hearts go out to the victims who survived. I mean, can you imagine? I can't. And we imagine today that in all of those circumstances, whether they died in that massacre or are in the process of healing, or they are mourning and grieving the loss of their friends and families, we imagine today that in every single case, Jesus asks their name. And in that moment, in ways that perhaps we can't imagine, they have the opportunity to be made whole. And our faith takes us to that place. And so we can claim affinity and relationship, and we can mourn along with them, and grieve with those who are left behind, and look for opportunities to be of service. And hopefully we can also find our voice as one of many communities of God. That this is not what God would have for us and for our people. And that this kind of violence is not of the will or the agenda of God. And we can declare that today. And await that moment. Perhaps it's a daily occurrence when Jesus asks our name. When Jesus asks their name. When Jesus asks for the names of all humanity so that we might be healed and made whole. So take a moment and take a nice deep breath.